You've been taught to treat sleep as a downtime, dead hours, the thing we've sacrificed to get more done. But what if sleep actually was one of the most powerful, creative, and wise parts of our lives, and we've been sleeping straight through its potential? Today's guest believes that the rest of approached with intention is the doorway to creativity, insight, and a kind of inner wisdom that no amount of technology, not even AI, can replicate. If you've ever woken up with an answer you didn't have that night before, this conversation is going to make you rethink everything about the hours you spent asleep. My guest today has a beautifully different way of thinking about something that we all do, and most of us undervalued. Megan Mazzocco is one of the founders of Wellbeing by Design and the author of Sleep System 28 Days to a Better Sleep. She helps people transform their relationship with the rest, not only to sleep better, but to unlock the creativity, intuition, and the wisdom that sleep makes possible. Megan, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you back.
Thank you, Stacey. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm really excited to address your audience today.
Well, I'm excited to have you. And just so everyone knows that Megan has her own podcast station. So if you wanted the rest of her episodes when she talks about sleep and many other important topics, go to her website and it's right on speaker, or you can just type her name in the browser and her podcast will pop right up. Now, let's start by challenging the way most of us think about sleep. We tend to treat sleep simply as rest, or worse, as wasted time. You see it very differently. What is sleep really for, in your view?
Well, I'm going to have to answer that in several ways because, first of all, sleep is a biological imperative for a reason. What happens when we sleep is a process that cannot happen at any other time of day, and it cannot be substituted by any supplement. And what that is when we go into the deep sleep stages, the brain cells shrink so that the lymphatic system can send cerebrospinal fluid through the hallways of your brain and clean out all these plaques and amyloids and neurotoxins that are associated with poor cognitive health outcomes. So that's one of the reasons why sleep is irreplaceable. There's nothing like it, no supplement to replace it. And then the other part about sleep is we do a lot of learning and processing. So all of your short-term memory goes into long-term memory. So that you have more, short-term memory space. It's kind of like when your disk does a defrag. And what happens when you're sleeping is two things. One, any information that you just learned, you actually will be 30% better at it when you wake up in the morning. And then two, the short-term information that you've learned, whether it's, design constraints or a challenge or, just some new point of view, will mix with all of your long-term memory and your lived experience in these new and different and innovative and creative ways. And in that sense, you are, while you're sleeping, creating synthesized wisdom between what you know, what you just learned, and your lived experience. And again, that's something that is unique to you. I'd like to call it your sleep print.
Right.
And finally, the liminal states of sleep are just the juiciest, ripe invitation to divine creative intelligence. So for me, sleep is actually the OG altered state of consciousness. I know a lot of people have skipped right on to psychedelics, but we don't need psychedelics to really see the infinite possibilities and the multidimensional facets and complexities of the universe, because in the liminal states of sleep, between wake and sleep and sleep and waking, you're in these brainwave states of theta and alpha, and your prefrontal cortex, or the thinking brain, goes offline. So your filter, your gatekeeper, is not there. And when you're in those liminal states, it is this state of divine receptivity. And so I believe that we don't need psychedelics. We just need to remember how to inhabit the portal that is sleep. And so that's why I like to talk about bringing the divine feminine energy to sleep. Because I know in my case, when I came to wanting to sleep better, the conversation wasn't and isn't and hasn't been that evolved yet. So I had a 2-year mystery illness, and it was a sleep-related mystery illness when we finally found out and learned that I needed, according to my functional medicine and Lyme specialist, I needed medication, meditation, and sleep. So like any type A overachieving diehard journalist, I researched everything sleep, and I hired a Buddhist monk. And so those two things really changed the trajectory of my life, and also brought me to a different understanding of, like, what is life? Like, what is truth? What is reality? And how a lot of what we've been programmed to do or think is very someone else's story. And usually someone else's story they created to benefit them.
Right.
And so in my case, I also went to dive into how do I sleep better? Like, this is going to be another achievement, right? Another accomplishment, because that's what I was driven to do. And sure enough, the sleep bros, the longevity bros, and the biohackers were right there for me, right? And they're like, this is what your sleep score should be. This is what your HRV, or, you know, heart rate variability should be. And I just bought into sleep as a performance. And your sleep score is actually meaningless. And sleep as a competition, like, who would think? But that was the story that I was so bought into. But as I continued to sleep and meditate and see things differently, I realized that sleep is a gift, and it is this altered state of consciousness that we've completely forgotten about. And most people waste, because number one, 30% of people are sleep deprived. The World Health Organization has declared sleep deprivation an epidemic in every industrialized country. And the CDC in this country concurs that 30% of adults are underslept. And that means that most people are walking around like crabby toddlers and angsty teens, because if you are sleep deprived just for one night, it raises your level of norepinephrine, which is a neurotransmitter and hormone that increases your heart rate, your blood pressure, and your blood sugar. Hey. That is considered physiologically baseline anxiety. And then people who are in this state, this heightened state of anxiety, are more likely to judge a neutral facial expression as threatening. So how are we supposed to walk around being grown-ups, being creative, being innovative, being cooperative?
Yeah.
And one out of three people is this angsty teen and cranky toddler, or feeling like they're being threatened by the person who is trying to either help them or work with them or create with them. And so there's that part of sleep and making sure that you're showing up in your full capacity for human connection, for creativity, for learning, for innovation. And then the other part of it is we can solve problems and be creative and be innovative and synergize and precipitate this owned wisdom completely effortlessly if we just remember and relearn how to inhabit the portal that is sleep, the original state of consciousness. And it doesn't cost anything. It's just
right.
You just need to bring intention to it and allow it the time it deserves and the attention it deserves. So that's what we're doing with the sleep system, 28 days of better sleep. So it's really not about, oh, your sleep is broken, or you don't know how to behave properly in order to get your full night's sleep. It's really about simply noticing. So each day, there is one evidence-based sleep hygiene tip. And yes, my practice, Wellbeing by Design, is all evidence-based research and frameworks to design life, work, and sleep within your parameters to thrive. So the sleep system is a proof of concept, and it's scientifically notated with journal articles and white papers. But the real science is the citizen science that the readers are doing when they answer the prompts after each evidence-based sleep hygiene tip about how they felt. What was their experience of sleep, and what was their experience of themselves? Because noticing yourself and writing that down is really more important than any score that someone could give you. And this habit of, instead of looking outside yourself for, oh, well, what are the optimal parameters that I should be optimizing my sleep to? You're looking inside and habitually asking yourself, well, how do I feel? How was my experience of sleep? And that's totally different than the sleep optimization conversation that is happening right now. And when you journey through the sleep system on the Citizen Science Project, that you are the N of one, or the sample of one, it develops this habit of self-trust, self-love, and owned wisdom, because you begin to bring intention to your sleep time. And there is a journal in the back, so you can write down your dreams, or if you have a constant running marquee of what you didn't finish that day, it's really good to write it down, because the act of writing it down is actually kind of, you know, getting it out of your system and letting it go and releasing it. And the biofeedback that your brain is getting is helping you to understand that it's okay to put that down for now. And so this handwriting is based on neuroplasticity and our brain's ability to rewire for learning new sensory cues or new behaviors that we associate with winding down, calming down, and sleepiness. Mm-hmm. And so that's only one of the neuroplasticity tools that we bring. There's five senses. And so there's all different evidence-based sleep hygiene tips that are based around the five senses that kind of play into the sleep system. And really, based on who you are and your experience of yourself and your experience of sleep, you'll know which sleep hygiene practices work best for you. And that's why it's called the sleep system, because you deconstruct unhelpful sleep habits and you reconstruct a healthy sleep system that is unique to only you. And I think that that journey is really a great foundation for then being able to sleep with intention and bringing this divine feminine energy and being in this ultimate state of receptivity to divine creative intelligence to your sleep as a daily practice, as a daily habit, and realizing how effortlessly we can really key into and tune into this divine creative intelligence that's always available to us. But we may have only heard people who have done psychedelics talk about all of the, you know, wild stuff that they've seen or understood. I mean, that's really available to us in sleep as well. We just need to take advantage of it.
I love it. Now, I'd love for people to hear how you came to this because it's personal for you. What was your own journey with sleep?
I was a single parent with my 22-month-old, and I had been in really close contact with a specific therapist. And I had just gone back to work. I was working for 3 architecture and design magazines, and I loved it. And I traveled part of the time, and I was their senior editor. And I, of course, had my 22-month-old in childcare so that I could go to work. And during this time, the therapist that I was seeing, she had twins, and she also had put her twins in childcare so that she could continue to work. And I got news one day that unfortunately one of her sons was killed at this childcare facility. And I was so freaked out. I would never leave my son in childcare for any longer than I had to. And then I thought, you know, if I don't have to leave my son in childcare or my next child in childcare, I will not. So eventually I got remarried. 6 years later, I had my second son. And because I had been a rock star journalist and employee, I said, can I work from home? So I don't have to put this beautiful child into childcare. And
yeah.
I said, sure. So I parented all day. I parented my boys. And I worked all night. And it was completely unsustainable, but I told myself I could sleep when I was on business trips.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that never happened because even the architecture and design industry is known for its overachieving, overperforming, over-delivering, and not sleeping associates. It's located into that culture of architecture and design. And I thought, I just got to keep working. I just all of a sudden got really sick. And no matter how much I slept, I never felt better. And I ended up going to the emergency room because I had fluid collecting between my skin and my organs. And my belly was behaving like a lava lamp because I would turn to one side and you would see the fluid go to one side. And then I would turn to my other side and you would see the fluid go to the other side. And I felt like I had bugs crawling up my ankles all day long. And my legs, the tops of my thighs, were numb. And the people at the emergency room said, "We did all the tests and you're just fine. Go home and don't eat so much salt." So as you can imagine, after about a year and a half of continuing to perform under intense physical strain and total brain fog, total fatigue, I was completely impatient. I thought that everyone was a threat because I was in that state of sleep-deprived anxiety, and I couldn't do my job creatively. I couldn't think. I couldn't focus. I didn't have word recall. And on top of it, the thing that made it the worst was I was a terrible parent. I had no patience for my children. So after about a year and a half of going from specialist to specialist, doctor to doctor, thinking I'm dying, not one of them asked me how I was sleeping. And I ended up watching YouTube videos of people with my symptoms so that I could figure this out. Yeah. And sure enough, the second to last thing was something about mold toxicity. And I got tested for mold toxicity and I had my whole basement tested for mold, which is very costly, but I was convinced that that's what it was. And then the last test I had was for Lyme. And I found on Lyme.org a Lyme literate doctor who was actually a psychotherapist, but had, or a psychiatrist, but had found out so many of his patients had chronic undiagnosed Lyme's disease.
Wow.
So I went to him and he sent my blood to Germany because in Germany they test for, or in Europe, they test for the 5 co-infections of Lyme. In this country, they only test for 2. And he told me that I had a weak positive. And I was so upset. I'm like, what are you talking about? A weak positive? If it's a weak positive, why do I feel this terrible?
Yeah.
He said, well, it is a weak positive Lyme that is exacerbated by extreme sleep deprivation and fatigue. And so he prescribed me medication, meditation, and sleep. And so like any type A of performative achieving journalist, I researched everything I could about sleep and I hired a Buddhist monk. And so those two things together really changed the trajectory of my life and it made the foundation for the sleep system. And this was, I believe, 2019. And so then in 2020, the pandemic happened. I could not travel or work anymore. And I stayed home to homeschool my kids. And I had finally gotten enough of a cure from meditation, which is anti-inflammatory. And at that point, with the Lyme and the sleep deprivation, I actually had encephaly of the brain. So like my brain and my whole nervous system was swollen. And so the meditation was key. And then also I was taking this herbal course of medication that would not destroy my microbiome. Because if you add antibiotics on top of already severe mental health depletion, it's not going to be a good, you know, result. So then I was homeschooling my kids. I was having so much fun with them because I finally had my energy back. I was making things magical because we were Waldorf school family and I had to create that in the home. And I just was so, so grateful for that time with my children and the ability to be a present parent. I thought, oh my gosh, I can't go back to a job. I have to create something new. And the first thing that I was inspired to create was because so many people during the pandemic were struggling to sleep.
Right.
Like, oh, been there, done that. So that's why I wrote the sleep system, because the world needed it. And I thought, I've got all of this information just inside of me. So why don't I put it into a book? And I learned about the deconstruction reconstruction process during the pandemic with Aisha Bursal, who is a world-renowned industrial designer. She's designed for Toto, for Herman Miller, and she was the most gracious hostess of these virtual teas. And once a week, we would get together and we would do Design the Life You Love, which is her book that she wrote about how to apply design thinking to your life. And so we would repeatedly do these deconstruction, reconstruction processes, which is her signature process. And right. One time she came to us and she's like, we're just going to do Design the Blank You Love. And then she took us through the series of prompts. And that is how I was inspired to help people design the sleep they love. And yeah, it's so interesting because when you really examine what you have right now and what you want, and you deconstruct what you have right now and you reconstruct it with all the parts and pieces and results that you want, it's this powerful exercise, not only of self-examination, but of self-love and self-trust and your own wisdom, because doing this process, it really draws those lived experiences out of you, and you pull it into your next iteration of what you want for your life, for your sleep, or whatever is the threshold that you're crossing through. And so that was my sleep or lack of sleep story and the inspiration of how the sleep system was born and brought into the world.
I love it. Now, this idea of intention is the heart of your work. So let's go there. What does it mean to sleep with intention rather than just collapsing into the bed exhausted?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, there could be intentional things like making sure you have a wind down time, dimming half the lights at sunset, making a bedtime tea, or forming some kind of ritual around your bedtime. So that could be about bringing intention to sleep. But the other part of it is, like we talked about a little earlier, bringing this creative receptivity to sleep. And it can be as simple as writing to your dream teachers in your journal, or even like kind of like, you know, when the tooth fairy used to come, you put your teeth under the pillow, you can write a note to your dream teachers and stick that note underneath your pillow before you go to sleep. And then when you're in those liminal states between wake and falling asleep, or right when you're about to wake up, or when you just realize that you're waking, you will receive some divine creative intelligence. But until you kind of have that awareness of having that kind of an intention to sleep, you don't notice it. It's very, it's very quiet and a very subtle energy. And you really have to invite it in. But once you do start sleeping with intention, you really get to know your dream teachers and also your sleep self. And so Aishi Bursal endorsed my book. And another woman, and I'm segging into the dreaming part and your sleep self, because I believe that we really get to know who we really are in the darkness. Yeah. And Dr. Kristen LaMarca, who is author of Learn to Lucid Dream, she endorsed my book as well. And she, I have her book, Learn to Lucid Dream, but she teaches people how to lucid dream. So that's why when people say, oh, I wake up at 3 a.m. every night and it's terrible, or I wake up and I can't stay asleep, I wake up. Well, she has a process called wilding. Wild stands for wake-induced lucid dreaming. And when you know that you're in a dream and you're dreaming, you can take control of that dream and do whatever you want. And this state, because your prefrontal cortex, your bossy filter and your gatekeeper is not online, you are at this extreme state of healing. So liberation, right? And you can do anything you want in that dream. So that would be like next level dreaming with intention. So I get really excited about when we remember how to inhabit sleep, because it is a portal. And the other part of it is like our sleep selves, we are our sleep selves in and out of bed, for better or for worse. So we might as well invest the time and the attention and bring the intention to our sleep selves that our sleep selves deserve, because we can be better humans, we'll have a better community, and we'll have less depression and anxiety, because this severe lack of sleep and the anxiety that comes with it, chronic sleep deprivation can lead to severe anxiety and depression. And I talk about this in my keynote, which is called Sleep and the City, Connecting and Relationships. Because if you are in a state of anxiety and you think everyone around you is a threat, you're going to be extremely lonely. And you're also going to be in a mental health crisis. So I like to connect the dots for people between the sleep deprivation epidemic, the mental health crisis, and the loneliness epidemic. Because I strongly believe those three things are related, and it all cascades down from sleep. So not a lot of people can, you know, meditate, and not everyone can do yoga, but everyone can sleep.
I think you could practice yoga and it could help bring you to a level of calmness, or you could do meditation, because there are some movements and poses that will actually help you get to that state of rest where you could actually have a good night's sleep too.
Absolutely. I have in the sleep system, one practice is just to forward fold, because forward folding
that's powerful,
triggers the relaxation response.
Yeah,
it does. It's so neat how inversions work on the nervous system that way. And you don't have to be standing up to do a forward fold. You can do a seated forward fold as well. So it is accessible for everyone.
I love that.
And so that is why when I do book signing events or book events, we have pajama parties. Because I am a certified yoga instructor. And so what we'll do is we'll talk about sleep for creativity, similar to how we just talked about, you know, being open to a divine feminine or divine creative intelligence and bringing divine feminine energy to sleep, because it's an ultimate state of receptivity. And then I'll lead people through writing an intention on a piece of paper, putting it under their yoga mat, and then we'll do a yoga nidra exercise, which keeps you in this state of alpha and theta, and your brain is vacillating between alpha and theta, and so you're in this ultimate relaxation, this ultimate state of receptivity, and then we see what comes through for people. And so it's just a really fun exercise and demonstration of the power that we have when we know how to inhabit sleep.
And what does that actually look like for someone who wants to try?
So I think that it would be either writing a note in your journal before you go to sleep to your dream teachers, or writing it down on a piece of paper. What is the question, the challenge, the obstacle, the whatever design problem that you want to solve? And put it under your pillow. And just while you're going to sleep, see what comes up. Maybe a vision, maybe a color, maybe a shape, maybe an animal. And then you can oracleize that and bring meaning to it, and kind of divine, like, what was that telling me? Or sometimes you'll just get a feeling or an emotion, and you'll just have a knowing. So I would say that that's practical. And then if somebody is sleeping and they wake up in the middle of the night, or if somebody remembers something right as they're waking up, just voice memo it on your phone. So you don't have to open your eyes. You don't have to write with pen and paper, but you have something to go back and listen to, because normally when you get into your body and your daily consciousness, you forget, and it comes away, and then you're like, oh no, what happened to that? So that's what I would recommend for practical steps to bringing intention and kind of a devotion to your sleep and your dream teachers.
I love it. Now, for the listeners out there, if you're starting to think about your sleep in a whole new way, stay with us, because it gets even more fascinating from here. Follow the advisor with Stacey Chalemi right now. Every week, we bring you the voices who help you see the life and yourself in a deeper, richer way. Now, this is the part that I find exciting, the hidden creative side of sleep. Now, you talk about sleep as a source of creativity, insight, wisdom. How does that actually work? Like, what happens when we rest that opens up our creativity?
I was explaining earlier, the neuroscience of sleep and learning is such that all of your short-term memory gets put into long-term memory while you sleep. And all of the short-term memory, whether it is design constraints or a challenge or an obstacle, it will mix together with all of your long-term memory plus any of your lived experience or embodied experience, and it will be combined in these new and different and innovative ways. And yeah. So this is what precipitates the creativity, the innovation, and then also the owned wisdom. And the reason that this is so important in this very moment is because AI cannot dream, because AI does not have a body. So all AI can do is reconfigure and regurgitate information that already exists. Whereas when you're a human being with embodied experience, you have this unique fingerprint or this sleep print of your owned wisdom, your creativity, your innovation that no other person can replicate. And that's why I think it's such a shame that people are being replaced by AI. It doesn't quite make sense to me because the wisdom and the innovation and the creativity that we really have as humans body is not replicable whatsoever.
At all. No. AI learns from humans. Nobody can replace another human. People crave and they long for humanity. They long for people. You're never going to get the same experience. And AI doesn't know empathy. It doesn't know compassion. It just knows how to absorb data and then feed out the best results. So it's totally different. But you know that you're really big when it comes to divine feminine energy. So you bring the idea that divine feminine energy in relation to sleep. And I'd love for you to unpack that for us.
Sure. So everyone has divine feminine and divine masculine energy. It doesn't matter what gender you are or how you identify. We all have that. But because of the way the world and history has been organized and written and recorded, a lot of the divine feminine energy has gotten written out, and the divine masculine or even the unbalanced masculine has risen where there's an imbalance of doing, making, serving, achieving, accomplishing, and also just not pausing, not stopping, not reflecting. And finally, the most important thing, not being open to receive.
Yeah.
That is the biggest fake story that our society tells is, and Gabor Mate, he nailed it in his book, The Myth of Normal. So the lie that our society tells is that you are an individual. And if you failed as an individual, it is your moral failure and your shortcomings. When we're connected, we're a tribe. We are here to help one another and lift one another up. And in order to do that, you have to be open to receive that. And we haven't been taught that it is safe to receive. We've only been taught that it is admirable and safe to achieve. And bringing this divine feminine to sleep is the opposite of achieving sleep. So right now we're achieving sleep, we're performing sleep, we're getting a sleep score, we're competitive about our sleep. And that is the conversation that goes along with the optimization bros and the sleep bros and the biohackers and the longevity bros. But when you have this divine feminine energy to your intention of sleep, you're intending to receive sleep, rest, healing, creativity, effortless. Mm-hmm. effortless innovation and then owned wisdom. And the owned wisdom is what I think is also so important and so lost when we're busy doing, making, serving, achieving, and accomplishing, because nobody's ever looking back on where we came from or doing the very important deconstruction work of life's thresholds. And so bringing this divine feminine energy to sleep is really just saying, like, I'm sleeping not to optimize, but I'm sleeping to receive whatever my dream teachers know that I need or whatever I ask. And yeah, it's just a totally different energy. And there's no laziness. There's no shame about it. There's nothing to do or accomplish or score or whatever. It's just about kind of like being like, oh, here's a warm bath, or somebody baked me chocolate chip cookies, or, you know, it's just really about receiving something that's like really comforting and really yummy.
I love that. And how does honoring that softer, more receptive, intuitive side of ourselves change the relationship with rest?
Well, the journey of listening to yourself, listening to your body when it needs to pause or rest or sleep, and then getting this knowing or these answers, it really increases your self-trust,
right,
and your self-love. And it's so interesting because when you're not trying to optimize and you're just accepting of like, yeah, sometimes I wake up at 1 or 3 or whatever, it's fine. That's kind of what's called the paradox of transformation. And when you start to accept all parts, then you change your relationship to those parts.
Mm-hmm.
It makes everything more harmonious. And so when we can be in that state of trust and in that state of self-love and wisdom and really feel embodied intuition and really guided, we're not going to be in competition. We're not going to be individuals. We're going to be just resourced to be able to cooperate and collaborate and just, share and make friends and just be open to the infinite possibilities of receiving every day that are available to us all the time. And so then you'll start to notice more synchronicities, more hilariously obvious signs from the universe, and you'll start to be really grateful for kind of becoming more sensitive to these quiet, subtle signs. And I think that when you have that relationship developed with yourself, you become not only more giving and more receptive to other people, you also kind of see all of their parts as beautiful. Then we're, radically accepting one another. And it's just somewhere that we can get, I believe, through remembering how to inhabit the portal of sleep, the OG ultimate state of consciousness.
Yeah, I agree. And you come to see sleep as so much more than rest and as a doorway to creativity and intuition and a wisdom that uniquely human. So what do you want every person now listening to understand about rest, about their own inner wisdom, and about what becomes possible when they start treating sleep as a gift that it truly is?
Yeah. I think the number one thing I want them to know is the reason this is the foundation of my work is because it follows this pattern. Rest, reset, and liberate. So rest, you reset your nervous system, and you start to become free from all the stories that you've told yourself, all the stories that other people have tried to inculcate in you that aren't your truth. And yeah. I really want people to know that through this journey of sleep, you will cultivate that self-love, the self-trust, and the owned wisdom that you really need to liberate yourself from what is not true for you.
Right. I love that. Now, can you tell everybody about your services that you provide and a little more about your book?
Sure. I'd be happy to. So The Sleep System, 28 Days to Better Sleep, A Pragmatic Guide to Designing the Sleep That You Love, is only available from meganmazoko.com and select retailers. And so right now there are some independent bookstores in Chicago who are selling The Sleep System. And then we will be having some pajama parties in the Chicago area at Bell House Books in Barrington in September. And then in October at the Luxury Bed Collection before the night before Design Chicago starts at the Merchandise Mart. And that one is going to be exclusively for interior designers to help them to sustain creativity on demand and avoid burnout. And then my other service is a community on Patreon called The Sanctuary by Wellbeing by Design. And we get together on first Fridays of the month for group coaching. And then there is the Sleep Sanctuary, and that meets weekly for people who are going through the Sleep System book so that we can all share our experiences of sleep and dreaming and being receptive and open to these liminal states and altered states of consciousness. And then I also work one-on-one with a few clients. And right now I do have an opening, one availability. And there is an option in the Sanctuary on Patreon for that service once a month. Or you can work with me on a weekly basis. And that would be a discussion if you wanted to reach out. I'm on LinkedIn, or you can reach me at megan@wellbeingsxdesign.com.
I love it. I love it. And for the listeners out there, it turns out that downtime may hold the most creative, wise, and deeply human parts of who we are. And Megan Mazzocco has invited us today to see sleep not just as lost time, but as a doorway to our own creativity and inner knowing. And I just want to thank you, Megan, for being on the show today, and tell our listeners once again where they can find your book and your sleep system, just so they make sure that it's embedded in their brain.
Absolutely. So my first and last name, meganmazzocco.com. is where you can find the Sleep System book. And I'm also on LinkedIn, just Megan Mazzocco. And I should note that for any global organizations who wants to launch their own sleep initiative, that the content of my book is available to license. And organizations who would like to launch their own branded local sleep initiatives are welcome to reach out to me on LinkedIn.
I love it. I love it. And if this opened your mind, share it with someone who could use a deeper, more restful, more inspired relationship with sleep. I want to thank you so much, Megan, for coming on the show today. As always, your podcasts and your episodes are so enlightening. You're so well-versed when it comes to teaching people about sleep and really looking at it for more than just a moment of rest, that it's so much more, it goes so much deeper, and how our body craves for it in more than one. And you really open people's eyes to how important it is and how sleep could actually change your life mentally, physically, spiritually. Whole life could be changed completely just by learning how to incorporate the proper amount of sleep into your life. And I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. Once again, you're amazing. And as always, I love seeing you.
Thanks for having me, Stacey. And thanks for sharing your audience with me.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You too. Safe journey.